John 1, verses 1 through 5. John 1, verses 1 through 5. Today, I want to talk about eternal word and what the eternal word is and what it's all about. Last week, if you recall, we studied the preeminence of Christ, meaning God's Son's superiority, and how important it is to understand His handiwork in all of our lives. In everything, God's hand is a part of our lives. And I talked about last week how His Word is woven throughout Scripture, and how His Word is woven throughout Scripture, and how His Word should be woven throughout your life if you've accepted Him as your Lord and personal Savior. We always have an opportunity as born-again believers to seek and to always study God and who He is. And last week I used this one particular verse, John 1:1, and it speaks of God being the beginning and God being the end, that His Word was the beginning. So out of reverence for God's holy and infallible Word, if you stand as I read these verses from John 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Our Father in heaven, I pray now that You will add a blessing to this service. Father, I pray that Your Word will stir up our hearts today, God, that it will stir up our thoughts of You and You alone. And Lord, we know that Your Word will not return void. And Lord, I just thank You for this opportunity today, God. I pray that You'll continue to lead and guide and direct in every area of our lives and this service. In Your heavenly name I pray, amen. You may be seated. God's Word is faithful and God's Word is true. God's Word is eternal. And this is what matters. Eternity is what matters. And if we can understand and grab the concept of what God's Word is and apply it to our daily lives, then we're doing exactly what we need to do to obey God's commandments, to learn more and more about God. In John 1, we're introduced to Jesus being eternal. And I know this is something that we all understand. This is something that we hear time and time again when we're here at church, whether we're reading His Word, whether it's in Sunday school, whether it's here in preaching. We know that God's Word is eternal. We know that Jesus is eternal. He is eternal life. And it needs to be reiterated over and over again because this is what it's all about. This is something that we should not just brush to the side and just say, well, I understand and know that God's Word is eternal. It's something that we should focus on. It should be our driving point for each and every day that God gives us. Last week we talked about Jesus Himself being pre-existent, that Jesus was sent to this earth. He was pre-incarnated, He was carnated, so He was personified. He was made in the flesh. Jesus became the living Word. Jesus was sent to this earth. He was the culmination, the final product of what God needed to get His plan to work, to fully set the plan in motion. And so we know that prior to Jesus, we even studied this last week briefly, we talked about this prior to Jesus being sent here, sent to the earth. We know that the law was given to Moses by God, and that God dwelt among His people in the tabernacle. That was how God's work took place. That's how He got His work done, through the giving of the law, because He chose Moses to be this leader, this believer in God who would not stray away from. He would lead His people. He would lead God's people. That was the law. And then we know through grace and through the love of God, He sent His Son to abolish the law so that we could experience grace, mercy, and love and understand the true meaning behind God's eternal Word. If you look at verse 14 of this very same chapter, it reads, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this signifies Jesus coming and taking place of the law because the law became flesh. Jesus himself became flesh. He came to fulfill God's plan, to fulfill the law. And then we also know that when God sent Jesus, there was someone else that he sent prior to Jesus being born, and that was John the Baptist. So now if you would, go back and look at verse 6, 7, and 8, and then we'll close with 15. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, saying that John came for a witness to bear witness of the light. And who was the light in which he was to bear witness of? Jesus. That all men through him might believe. So John was sent to tell others about this light. Verse 8, John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, if you would look at verse 15, it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. But we know that John the Baptist was born before Jesus. But remember, Jesus has been in existence since God, since the beginning of time. And so John entered earth first, born of the flesh first, came and told people of this light. And then when he showed up, he said, hey, this is the man I've been telling you about. He's here. He is the one that you're going to follow. As a matter of fact, John encouraged the ones that he had been leading to leave his side and go and follow Jesus. Now, you know, first of all, that had to take a great humility to be able to recognize that, hey, this guy is for real. I was just here to tell you about this guy. This guy is Jesus. This guy is the Son of God. I need you to go now and follow him so he can truly make you a disciple of the one true king. John gave all of that up. He had a lot of fame. He had accrued a great following. But he was willing to give that up so that they could go and follow the one in which he came to speak of, the light. This prologue itself introduces several key things throughout this whole Gospel of John. It introduces Jesus as life. It introduces Jesus as light, and it also introduces Jesus as the truth. Those three components are listed in the whole Gospel of John. And, you know, it's within our doctrinal faith in which we believe, in which we practice, that Jesus became known as a one-of-a-kind Son of the Father. There was no one like him, and there will never be anyone like him. He was introduced as the Son of God, the Heavenly Father. What an entrance. What a way to be recognized. What a way to be glorified. And so that's our responsibility. We're to be now like John the Baptist per se. We're to be the ones who lead, but make sure we're pointing one or people in the right direction, pointing them to the light. Not us. May they see the light within us. But may we always point people to the true light. That is Jesus Christ himself, the eternal word of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is through grace and truth that anyone can have the opportunity to experience the eternal word. And that's what it's all about. It's all about grace, and it's all about accepting the truth. And, you know, a lot of times we don't want to believe the truth. We oftentimes sugarcoat the truth. But there's no sugarcoating with God's word. You have to take it for what it is. It's white. It's black. There's no in between. It's not gray. You take it for what it is. You read these words in this Bible, and you have to believe, and you have to know that it is the truth. Now, looking at our very first verse, in which we've already read together, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This very same verse echoes the verse of Genesis chapter 1 in verse 1 of the opening of this Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so John is reiterating that in this very first verse in which he opens up with. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All of those things existed at the exact same time. John establishes Jesus' existence in eternity past. And you know, we discussed that last week, speaking of Jesus Christ's preeminence. We discussed last week that he is superior, that he created all things. All things by him were created. And as a matter of fact, this is what our focal passage was this past week, in Vacation Bible School. Everything was created by him and for him. And so this is why God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are preeminent. They should be superior over our lives. The word conveys the notion of divine self-expression. Divine self-expression meaning divine self-expression of Jesus Christ, not yourself, not myself, but divine self-expression of Jesus Christ. If you would, hold your place at John and turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. I try not to have you turn to a lot of scripture through the course of the service, but sometimes it's greatly beneficial if you are looking at the words that are being shared and it has a greater impact. So Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, the creation and covenants of God. This is a psalm of David. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their voice being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their works to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son. God's word is extremely effective, wouldn't you agree? Everything that he speaks is effective. Everything that he says has a purpose. There's not one word written in this Bible that does not have a specific meaning that we can or cannot apply to our lives. All throughout the Bible, Jesus himself, God himself, reveals to us how great and effective his word is. Genesis 1:3 says, and God said, let there be light. Then what took place? There was light. That's exactly right. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1:9, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let dry land appear. And what happened next? It was so. It took place. Immediately upon those words being uttered from God's mouth, it instantly took place. How effective is our God? Isaiah 55, 11 and 12 reads, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Not what you please, not what I please, not what Sandhill Baptist pleases, but his word will not return void. It shall accomplish what he pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So that tells us that, this is verse 11 of Isaiah 55, so that tells us that everything that God speaks has a great purpose, that it will not return void, that it will be effective. Now, does that mean you're going to like what he has said? Not necessarily so. But when you align yourself with God's will, when you align yourself with what he needs for you to do, his word is living within you. It's not going to return void. He has called you for a purpose. And you can accomplish much through the power of God. Not through your might, but through what God has allowed or will allow to take place in your life. You shall prosper. Verse 12 says, for you shall go out with joy. That's what's important. You know, a lot of times we don't seem to have joy. Just like the song that we sang first, you know, there's within my heart a melody. Is that what we're singing? Right. There's within my heart a melody. You know, we need to sing that song. We should have been singing that with a humongous smile on our face. The sweetest name I know. There within my heart's a melody. And that melody is the joy in which God has put in your heart. For you shall go out with joy, you shall be led forth with peace. Very important as well. If you've got joy deep, deep down in your heart, then you've got peace. With joy and peace given to you by God, you've got the tangible tools that are needed to go out and show others the importance of Christ. To show others what it means to understand and believe God's eternal word. It says, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. What an effective and powerful God we serve. Looking at verse 2 and 3 back in John chapter 1, John is reiterating in these two verses just how effective God is when he speaks. And so John says in 2 and 3, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we know that every single thing that we see here on this earth was made by God. It may have been through man's hands, but it was still made by God. We know that God had total control over. You know, this past Friday night was called the Strawberry Moon. I don't know if any of you had an opportunity to see the moon. It didn't seem to be too pink or red to me, but it just could have been my eyes. I don't know. But wow, was it bright and full. That's God's handiwork. That is that light that he gave us to help us at night. And we know that he gave us the sun to give us light by day. But those things are God's handiwork. And I hope that the children that are here today, and even the adults that are here today who participated in our Vacation Bible School, was able to learn more about God's universe. To learn more about how he cared so much to create a universe. To create a solar system. You know, he could have just made the sun and the moon to take care of us. We didn't need those extra planets. But he gave us those things for enjoyment. He gave us the stars for enjoyment because it is a representation of God and the great universe in which he created, and that he thought so much to create you and myself so that we can serve him, so that we can praise him in all of life's ways. Everything that exists owes its existence to God. So now, if you're able to write these three things down, feel free to do so. But if not, if you're interested in knowing more about these topics that we're going to go over, I can get with you after church today. But I want to give you three Jesus is statements for today. Jesus is eternal. We must remember that the Word never had a beginning, nor does Jesus' Word, God's Word, have an end. Jesus is eternal. And what's so good about that statement is you too are eternal. We all have a destination. Our soul has a destination. But if you believe in Jesus and know and recognize that his word is eternal, you too can have life eternal with him. Jesus is our second statement. Jesus is personal. Aren't you glad that he's personal? Aren't you glad that he is a God that we can go to, that we don't have to designate a person to go for us? And it doesn't have to just be done once a year. It's any time. Jesus is so very personal, and he's so personal with God, which means he enjoys intimate fellowship with his own Father. So if you know Jesus, if you know God, you can have an intimate, personal relationship with the Creator of the universe. As big and as powerful and as mighty of a God we serve, he has time for every individual that sits in this congregation today. He has time for every individual who has ever walked the face of this earth. So therefore, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you can know that you have a relationship with his heavenly Father. And then our third Jesus' statement, and this is a simple statement. There's nothing that needs to be said after this. Jesus is divine. Jesus is divine. When John referred to Jesus as the Word, he was emphasizing that Jesus is the total revelation of God. You know, we study revelation. We learn what the word revelation is. It means to reveal. And so we know that Jesus is the revelation of God. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. We know that they are one. But God sent his Son, the revealer, to reveal to man what steps were necessary to understand the importance of his eternal word. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now that word sundry or divers is various. That's what those words mean, various. So God, who at various times spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So we know that he gave direction, guidance to the prophets. But what did those prophets have to do? They had to be willing to be faithful. They had to be willing to recognize that they needed to listen to God's voice, apply it to their heart, so they could then go out and teach others and show others. And so God knew the importance of what these prophets were going to do, or what they were going to do in fulfilling his masterful plan. And so that's how he revealed revelations in the Old Testament, through the prophets. And so God spoke to these prophets in a variety of different ways. And as he spoke to these prophets, they continually progressed. We know that God's word continued to progress. God's fulfillment continued to progress. Aren't you glad those prophets were faithful? Aren't you glad that God picked those right men to be faithful servants for him? This is how we receive his word today. And so earlier I talked about Daniel and how faithful of a man he was. Every one of us in this congregation today has the capability and the opportunity to be as faithful as these prophets. Now, does this mean that God's going to reveal all these miraculous things to you? Not necessarily. But God can reveal his plan for you and your plan for him. And then your plan for how you can go out and reach others, and how you can go out and teach others about his eternal word. You know, God had this all planned out. In the very beginning, as we read in John 1, in the beginning was the word. God is the word. If you notice, that word is capitalized, which represents that word is God. That word is Jesus. That word is the Holy Spirit. The doctrine itself of progressive revelation, it recognizes the importance of the prophets, but at the same time, that progression had to get us to where Jesus was sent to this earth. It was all a matter of time and how everything led and pointed to that man that John the Baptist talked about, the light. This man that was going to come, and he was going to shed the light on what it meant to be a follower of the Messiah. Do you believe in his eternal word? Do you apply his eternal word to your life each and every day? Looking at verse 4 and 5, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Here John's reference to life, light, and darkness continues to draw from the theme of Genesis. There are many verses in Genesis chapter 1 that speak of life and light and darkness. So if you don't mind, turn back to Genesis once again. I'm going to read verses 14 through 18 in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, 14 and 18. This is on the fourth day. It says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." At the beginning of verse 14, it says, "And God said." So remember, if God said it, it must be true. And then at the end of verse 18 it says, "And God saw that it was good." How wonderful is that? We know that his word is good. But God saw that what he created was good. It looked perfect in his eyes. But bear in mind, that's before man entered. But God saw that it was good. And when we take the time to see God for what he is, and that he really is a good God, and we accept that for what it is, God can turn our works into good for him. And that's what it's all about, is doing the work of the Heavenly Father. Through the good times and through the bad times, continue to do the work of the Heavenly Father. These simple statements prove God's eternal promise for us, and they're small phrases You know, God said and God saw that it was good. Those are small phrases, but what an impactful meaning they have to know that we serve a good, good God. God said for his only begotten son to leave his throne on high, to live a life that would give us the perfect example of total sacrifice, and then show us how we too can enjoy life eternal with him. In Matthew 3:17, God said, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And so when God looks at you and looks at me as children of his, does he always say, I'm well pleased? Can he always say, I'm well pleased in what you're doing? And you know, even for myself, I know that the answer is not always yes. We will continue to fail him, but he'll never fail us. Great is his faithfulness. And aren't you so glad that his mercy is so great? That his love and his grace is so great, because he continues to allow us to mess up. But he continues to allow us to ask for forgiveness. And every time he forgives. And he also not just forgives, but he forgets. A lot of times we forgive, but we don't forget. What a hindrance that is. We have to forget. We have to move on. We have to trust God and know that he is in total control. We've been given a hope of eternal peace through Jesus Christ, and it's through the hearing of God's eternal word. And I know I've said that word eternal numerous times today, but that is what's important. If you don't get anything else from anything that's been said from me today, know that God's word is eternal. God's love is eternal. If you haven't experienced God's love, if you don't understand God's word, then you're going to miss out on God's eternal love. So if you ever have questions, ask. Don't be ashamed. Find the answer. Pray to God to give you the wisdom, the insight to understand his word. The more you put yourself in his word, the more you pray for God to open up my eyes so that I may see and understand, the more he can do for you. The more he will reveal to you. Things that didn't make sense at one time will make great sense the next. Because that's how powerful God is. His wisdom is great. His knowledge is great. And he can give you this very same wisdom and understanding of his word. God is the beginning and the end. And we too will experience a beginning. We too will experience and end. But my question for you will be today, will your end be in the light? Or will your end be in total darkness? If you believe in his eternal word, you are proclaiming to believe that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and that Jesus was with him. God is life and light. And he even rules over the darkness. I'll leave you with one closing verse. This is John 8:12. And it reads, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. That is a promise. That is a guarantee. You will not walk in darkness if you follow Jesus, but shall have the light of life. And how important that is. No matter how dark your life may seem right now, no matter how dark and evil this world we live in seems right now, if you call upon the name of the Lord and you understand his eternal word and you accept his son's saving grace, he will instill in you a light that will never burn out. He will instill in you a light that will also shine forth for others. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and there's no other way to come unto the Father except by Jesus. And when you do this, you admit, you believe, and you confess in his eternal word, and your eternal security is given by believing in the word of God, the word of Jesus, and the word of the Holy Spirit. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. And God, I thank you for your word. Lord, let there not be a day that passes each individual who sits in your congregation today. Let it not pass them by that they don't spend a portion of their day in your word, God. We cannot go wrong. And Father, may we always have an open communication with you, God. May we strive daily to have an intimate relationship with you. And so, God, this is my prayer today that each one of us, whether we're young or whether we're old, God, strives daily to be closer to you, Father. God, we love you and we praise you. And we do thank you for your eternal word. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen.